I want to talk to you about suffering long and the promises of God. Suffering long and the promises of God. I want you to go with me to two passages of Scripture. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 6 and then Joshua chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, Joshua chapter 6. And we're going to start with Hebrews. Again, this morning, the title of the message the Lord put on my heart is Suffering Long in the Promises of God. Suffering Long in the Promises of God. Let's start with Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. Verse 12 says, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Go with me to Joshua 6, verse 14. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you this city. Suffering long in the promises of God. Let's pray this morning. In Joshua chapter 6, we have the remarkable story that I believe we all know well about the collapsing of the Jericho walls. Joshua leads his people across the Jordan River into their inheritance, the Canaan land. And it's immediately, almost immediately after they enter into the Canaan land, that this humongous impossibility, that this invincible, indestructible enemy stronghold stands before them. And I'm sure that many of the children of Israel, first time seeing this massive structure, they're standing there gaping. They're standing there with their eyes fixed upon this incredible fortress, this incredible enemy stronghold that stands before them. But then the word of the Lord comes. The word of the Lord comes to the heart and the life of Joshua. And the word of the Lord says this, that in 7 days I'm going to destroy this stronghold down, tear this stronghold down. That this massive structure, this impossibility that stands before you, in 7 days I'm going to send it tumbling to the ground. And the Lord was faithful to do that. As we read the story, he was faithful to do that. As the children of Israel marched in faith and obedience around the walls came tumbling down. And isn't that great? Isn't that remarkable? But here's the question that comes to my heart. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of our answers to prayers came in 7 days? Wouldn't it be wonderful if all the breakthroughs that we needed in our life, as soon as they stand there looming before us, we get a word from the Lord that says, in 7 days I'm going to bring this down. That the Lord puts something in our heart. Wouldn't it be wonderful that every time an impossibility sets in front of us, the Lord says, just march in faith and obedience for 7 days, and then you're going to see me remove it from you, and you'll never see it again. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And I'm not taking away from Joshua's experience. I know it was a tremendous battle of faith and obedience. But this morning, I want to take you to a man. I want to show you to a man that the Lord put a word in his heart. And this man didn't see it fulfilled in 7 days. He saw it fulfilled after 70 years. And of course, I'm talking about a man by the name of Daniel. A man that suffered long in the promise of God. A man that waited many, many years to see a word fulfilled in the promises of God. I want you to go with me to Daniel chapter 9, verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. So what we read here, just very simply put, the Bible tells us that Daniel understood by the writings of Jeremiah that after 70 years be accomplished, that the Lord would deliver his people again to their land, that the Lord would one more time bring his people out of their Babylonian exile and back to their land. And of course, what Daniel saw, we find recorded in Jeremiah chapter 29. You don't have to turn there. It says in Jeremiah 29, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit and perform my word toward you in causing you to return to your homeland." So Daniel knew through this prophecy that his people were on a time clock, a 70-year time clock. Now this is what I want us to understand about this prophecy. This prophecy from Jeremiah was written only a few short years after the children of Israel went into Babylon exile. What had happened is the children of Israel went into Babylonian exile and they were so despondent, they were so disheartened because they were there in this foreign land. And false prophets were rising up and beginning to prophesy and say to the children of Israel, "Listen, we're not going to be here long. We're only going to be here for a very short time, and then the Lord's going to bring us back to our land." And so Jeremiah, wanting to squelch these lies and also comfort the hearts of his people, he writes them this prophecy and sends it throughout all Babylon, that there are messengers throughout all Babylon that were declaring this prophecy to the people of God, that, listen, you're not here for a short time, that you need to find your peace. That's what it says in Jeremiah 29. You need to find your peace in Babylon. You need to marry, build your homes, plant your gardens, plant your crops, because you're going to be here for 70 years. And so you need to have peace here. So this is what Jeremiah had done. So in other words, this is what I'm saying. This is a promise that Daniel carried in his heart for almost an entire lifetime. This is a promise that Daniel carried, a word from the Lord that Daniel carried in his heart for almost an entire lifetime. He suffered long with this promise from the Lord. He knew it was a sure word, but it wasn't an overnight word. And it's a promise he kept in his heart for a very long time. And I believe, now this may not have been the case, but I can just see it in my mind, that every time another year would tick off the time clock, I can see Daniel saying, well, 5 years down, 65 more years to go. 6 years down, 64 more years to go. 7 years down, 63 more years to go. And in my mind, I can actually see Daniel saying this in his heart. But you know, the fulfillment is so far away that I'm not going to entertain it. I'm not going to let it attach itself to my mind. I'm not going to let my mind dwell upon it, because the word of the Lord, the fulfillment of the word of the Lord, it just seems so far away. Daniel was a man that suffered long with a promise from the Lord. Now, going back to our time and our day, bringing it back to us in the day that we live, I want to say here that probably not every believer, receives a word from the Lord that requires a long waiting, sometimes a very long waiting. Maybe everyone does, but I'm just not sure enough to say that everyone receives a sure word in their heart about something God specifically wants to do, and they have to wait a very long time before they see it fulfilled. But yet, brothers and sisters, I do know that there is a people in every generation. The Lord speaks something into their heart. The Lord plants a sure word into their heart about something that He wants to do. And it doesn't mean that they're more special than anyone else. It simply means that's just the way that God works. I know in my own life, almost the very day that I got saved, the Lord put something in my heart. Something that He said that He was going to accomplish through my life that was going to have an impact upon my generation. Something very specific. And brothers and sisters, that's been 15 years ago, and I haven't seen it fulfilled yet. But even though it stays very much on my heart, I'm at a place now where I can say, you know what? I'm probably not going to see it anytime soon. And the reason why I say that is because I still know the work God needs to do in my heart. I still know the work that God needs to do in my life before I see the fulfillment of that. So I know in my heart the Lord does speak things into people's lives, specific things, things that He wants to do in their heart. And when the Lord gave me that promise, it wasn't anything about me. It's not anything about me. It wasn't about the wife that He wanted to give me, and it wasn't about some blessing He had in store for my life, and I'm not taking away from it, any of that, but it was about His glory. It was about His kingdom. It was about what He wanted to do in my generation through my life that's going to bring honor to the Lord. So again, I do know that there are times the Lord will come with a word and He'll plant it in your heart, but it's not an overnight word. It's a promise that you have to suffer long with God for until you see the fulfillment of it. You know, I think about Sister Catherine, the president of our school. I believe my story is right. I've heard her tell it a few times that it wasn't many years after she got saved. The Lord spoke to her out of Isaiah 54. The Lord spoke to her a verse and made it very real in her heart that your children are going to be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. And at that time, she didn't know what it meant, but all she knew is it was a word from the Lord. And of course, we know today the Lord was speaking to her about this Bible school, where God was going to bring young people in and begin to change and begin to transform their lives, begin to break yokes and bondages off of their lives and their hearts as they come into the knowledge of the love of God. Brothers and sisters, it was a promise the Lord put in her heart, but it was many, many years before she saw the fulfillment of that word. I can't help but think about a man, a wonderful testimony I've heard from an old saint of God from a foreign land. When he got saved, immediately he came under a burden for his country. The Lord put such a love in his heart for the people that were in his country. And he began to pray for his country and began to pray for the people. And then the Lord came to his heart and said, "One day I'm going to bring revival. As you are faithful to pray for your people, I'm going to bring revival to your people." And brothers and sisters, many, many, many years went by. And then suddenly, in one moment of time, revival came. And in one moment of time, there were multitudes and multitudes that were swept into the kingdom of God through this man's praying. The Lord put a prayer. The Lord put a word in this man's heart. And this man suffered long in the promise of God, but he knew he had a word from the Lord. And the Lord was faithful to fulfill that word. I can't help but think about Simeon in the Bible. He had a word from the Lord, and he had to wait many years before he saw the fulfillment of that word. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. And the man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus, then took he up him in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, let me now depart in peace, for my eyes have seen thy salvation.'" You can hear it in this man's voice that he waited many, many years before seeing the fulfillment of the word that God planted in his heart. And so what I'm saying again is that I know that in every generation, there are a people that suffer long with God's promises, that the Lord speaks a sure word into their hearts and it's not fulfilled overnight, yet at the same time, God is faithful to fulfill that word in their heart. Understand, while you are waiting for its fulfillment, there are times the Lord will stir it up in your heart again. There are just seasons in your walk with God where God will just suddenly come again and begin to speak that word into your heart in a fresh way and really stir it up in your heart again. And I can't help but think about Abraham. You know, it was 25 years before he received his son Isaac. But when you go with Abraham, starting with chapter 12, you see that there were just key times in Abraham's life that the Lord would just come upon his heart and one more time begin to speak to him in a fresh way, in a living way, that you're going to have a son, and that son, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. There were just key times that the Lord would come to Abraham and one more time begin to stir that word and speak that word again. And I believe that one of the reasons why the Lord does that is because He doesn't want us to forget that word. He doesn't want us to forget that promise. I believe one of the reasons why the Lord does that is because He doesn't want us to lose our hunger for it, to lose our desire for it. I believe He doesn't want us to come into an ungodly contentment, which means I start becoming content with things and ultimately settle into things that is not ultimately the will of God for my life. that there's something specific God wants to do through my life, God wants to do through my heart, and not just to settle in and become contentment, but to stay hungry for what God has put in your heart. And another reason why I believe he begins to stir your heart, there's just key times in your life where he comes and stirs that word again in your heart, is because he wants to give you the strength to stay in the fire. To stay in those fires where he's making and molding you. I can't help but think about Joseph. Through dreams, God put a vision in Joseph's heart. God put a word in Joseph's heart. There's something, Joseph, very powerful that I want to do in your life. And then immediately after that word sealed his heart, Joseph immediately went into the fires. And I believe with all my heart, there were times that Joseph was down in that dungeon. And he was walking through that dungeon. And he was saying to the Lord, Lord, I'm down here in this dark dungeon. I'm alone. I'm separated from my family. Everyone thinks I'm dead. Everyone that ever loves me thinks I'm dead. But God, you put a word in my heart. Lord, you spoke a word in my heart. Lord, there's a purpose for these fires that I'm going through. And it was that word that God put in his heart that he would find the strength to make it through those midnight hours. Beloved, I found out that when you know there's a purpose for it, you can go through anything. When you know God has an eternal purpose for it and something, God is going to resurrect you and God's going to do something, you can go through anything. And I believe when you're suffering long, waiting for the fulfillment of what God has put in your heart, what he wants to do through your life, there are going to be times he will come and stir that word again. Because he sees you getting weary. He sees you getting tired. He sees you always in the fires, being made for that moment where he can bring you out of Pharaoh's dungeon and make you a chief in the land, so to speak. A chief in the spirit, a general in the spiritual realm. And you get weary in those fires. But then he comes with that word again and says, this is something that you can't do. It's too big for you. But this is what I want to do through your life. He comes with that word. Now, with this truth in mind, there are a few things we can talk about. But there is really one thing that is on my heart from the Lord. So let's just ask a question. When the Lord plants a word, a promise in our hearts, why is the fulfillment so long in coming? Why is it so long in coming? Because in the long and waiting process, God is doing a deep work in our heart that has to be done before we can see that word fulfilled. Because in that long process of waiting, God is doing something in our heart. He's doing a deep work in our heart that has to be done in our life in order to see that word fulfilled. Now, there's three people the Lord's put on my heart. Three people that suffered long waiting for the Lord to fulfill a word. Or three people waiting for something that God said, I'm going to do through your life. But they had to suffer long with the Lord before they saw that word fulfilled. There's three people in the Bible the Lord put on my heart. And I want to show you three things that God did in their lives, preparing them for the day that they saw the fulfillment. The first one is Moses. In Acts chapter 7, we see that Moses knew he was a prince in Egypt. That while he was a prince in Egypt, he was called by God to be a deliverer. In other words, in Acts chapter 7, you see that while Moses was a prince in Egypt, he was a man of reputation in Egypt, strong in word and deed, he understood that he had the call of God on his life. You see that in Acts chapter 7. He understood that he was a deliverer. He understood that there was a calling on his life to deliver his people. But before that day, Moses could see that word fulfilled, that day he would deliver his people, there was a desert, a Midian desert that he had to go through. 40 years in this Midian desert. 40 years God had to work in his heart. 40 years God had to do something in his life. Now this is the thought that the Lord put upon my heart. When Moses finally came out of that wilderness, that 40 years in Midian, the Bible says that he was the meekest man on the face of the earth. And listen, when you go with Moses through the book of Exodus and Numbers, you understand why he needed that meekness. When you see in his ministry what he had to go through and what he had to put up with and what he had to tolerate and bear through, you can understand why he needed to be the meekest man on the face of the earth. Only God knew what he was going to need to walk out the fulfillment of that word. Now, brothers and sisters, what is meekness? There's a few definitions that we can give. But listen, when you go through Moses' life and you look at Moses' life, you can very plainly understand what meekness is. Meekness is the Lord's strength enabling you To me, very simply put, that's it. Meekness is simply walking in the strength of the Lord. Looking at Moses' life, meekness is the Lord's strength enabling you to persevere under the unbearable. Meekness is the Lord's strength to be patient to the point of suffering. Meekness is the strength of God to exercise great self-control when the pressure is unbearable. That's meekness. And what I want us to understand is this meekness, it doesn't come by human strength. This kind of meekness that we're talking about, this goes far past human strength. There's nothing in me, nothing in you that can cultivate, that can produce this kind of meekness. This is only a meekness that only God can work in our heart. This is only a kind of God-given strength that God can work in our life. And you don't just get it at salvation. This is a strength that it takes years for the Lord to work in our heart and to work in our life. And you don't just get it by having it breathed upon you. You get it by walking through your own wilderness with God. What am I saying? There are some promises. Listen. There is a depth of strength in the Lord that we have to come into before some promises can be given to us. God will put that word in your heart and speak something that He wants to do in your life. But yet there is a depth of strength in the Lord you have to come into before you can see the fulfillment of that promise. Brothers and sisters, I've learned something in my walk with God. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. You can be saved 50 years. But there's still more of your strength to die to. That will never end. There's always more of your strength to die to and always more of God's strength to possess in your heart and your soul and your life. And only God knows when you're ready for the fulfillment of that promise. Only God knows when you've come into that place of strength in the Lord where you're ready to handle the responsibility and whatever challenges that come with that promise. Only the Lord knows that. So while we're waiting on promises from the Lord is saying, you're waiting because I have to work a strength in your heart that you're going to have. And it comes through the wilderness. You know, I have down here in my notes, just thinking about it. Again, I was just thinking about Sister Catherine, our founder and president of our school. You know, the Lord honored her with this wonderful Bible school, and kids are coming in. And their lives are being changed and their lives are being transformed. But yet the opposition against her is horrendous. A lot of people don't see that part. But the opposition against her is horrendous. The warfare against her is horrendous. The opposition that comes against her life is horrendous. And the Lord, before He could place this school into her hands, there was a strength, there was a meekness that the Lord had to place in her heart first. So why do we suffer long in the fulfillment of a word God's put in our heart? Because God says before you can see the fulfillment of that, there is a depth of strength in the Lord you have to come into first. There's a strength in the Lord you have to possess first, and I'm working that in your heart. Secondly, Hannah. I think about Hannah. You know, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, tells us that many years Hannah had no child, and her enemy caused her great suffering and great grief. Many years she had no child. Many years she was barren. Many years her heart was crying out to the Lord for a child. And it was many years before she received her Samuel. And some time ago, the Lord laid this story on my heart. I mean, the Lord really laid this story on my heart, and I was praying to the Lord, and the question came to my mind. The question was simply this: Lord, why did you wait so long before answering her prayer? Lord, why did you wait so long before answering that cry that was in her heart for a child? And this is why I sense the Lord strongly speak to my heart. Because there was a depth of surrender. I was waiting to hear from her heart. And until I heard that depth of surrender I was listening for, I could not answer that prayer. I could not give her that child. There was a depth of surrender I needed to work in her heart that she didn't have yet. That yes, Hannah loved the Lord. Hannah's life was laid down. Hannah's life was a life of sacrifice to the Lord. But yet, there was still a depth of surrender that wasn't found in her heart yet. I know 1 Samuel chapter 1 is not the only time that she prayed for Samuel. She prayed for her son. I know that. I know that's not the first time she cried out to the Lord. There were many other times she cried out to the Lord. And the Lord's compassion was upon her, but he did not answer that prayer. Because there was still a deeper place of surrender she needed to come to in her heart. But one day she came to that place. One day she laid that thing that was most precious and priceless to her heart more than anything else. She laid it on the altar. One day she said, God, if you give me a son, Samuel, I will give him to you. No strings attached. Nothing attached. He's yours. And the Lord heard that depth of surrender. And the Lord said, now I'm going to answer that prayer. Beloved, the Lord may put promises in our heart. He may put words in our heart that he wants to fulfill. But the Lord says the reason why I'm having to wait so long is because there's still a greater surrender I need to work in your heart. There's still, I know you're a surrendered person. I know you live a life of sacrifice. But yet there is a deeper place of surrender I need from your heart. And until you come into that deeper place of surrender, I cannot fulfill this word in your life. But here's what we have to understand about Hannah. This place of surrender that Hannah came to, again, it's not something that you can do in your own strength. You can't muster up this kind of strength and say, Lord, here's the surrender that you're looking for. You can't do it. This is only a surrender, a depth, a place of surrender that only God can work in your heart. It's only a place that God can bring you in your heart. But the wonderful news is God is faithful. He can bring you to it. Is it always easy? Was it easy for Hannah? No, for many years, Peniah was there provoking her, grieving her, mocking her, causing her much sorrow and much grief. And God doesn't take pleasure in watching his people suffer. But yet when you understand the times that Hannah was living in, you have to understand why God had to use her enemy to work this place of surrender in her heart. It was a very dark time. The light of truth was going out in all of Israel. The lamp went out in the temple. God says, I need a Samuel. I need a man of truth that the truth, the light in him, will prevail over the darkness. But I have to bring that Samuel through a woman named Hannah. And before I can bring that Samuel forth, there's a place of surrender she has to come to in her heart. It's not easy. It's not easy for me watching her go through this. But it's needful because of the times that she's living in. Why do we suffer long waiting for the fulfillment of the word of God? A promise the Lord spoke in our heart. Because sometimes we're just not at that place of surrender the Lord needs us to be. But the good news is as we walk in faith and obedience to him, he knows how to work that surrender in our heart. Amen. Number three. Joseph, you know, it was around 20 years when you study Joseph before he saw the vision the Lord put in his heart. 13 years from the time he went into the pit till he came out of Pharaoh's dungeon. And then 7 years of plenty after that. And then 3 years of famine until his brothers came to Egypt. We're looking at roughly around 20 years. Before he saw that vision in his heart. And we remember the story of Joseph. In their hate and in their spite and in their jealousy, Joseph's brothers took Joseph and literally tried to destroy his life. Sold him into slavery. And Joseph went into Egyptian slavery. And this is what I want to say about Joseph. Joseph was no Superman. He wasn't a Superman. You know he dealt with deep hurt. He dealt with deep wounds. You know he had to have his bouts with bitterness and resentment towards his brothers. But in that place of waiting, in those dungeons, in Potiphar's house, in Pharaoh's house, when he was second in command, God worked in Joseph's heart. God worked in Joseph's heart. God done such a work in Joseph's heart that when Joseph's brothers finally came to Egypt and were bowing before him, desperate for life, all they could find was the heart of God. They found mercy from the Lord. They found mercy from Joseph. They found kindness. Genesis chapter 50 says that Joseph spoke kindly to his brothers and he nourished them. Now here's the question that's on my heart. I believe there are people in your family, someone here, someone in your family. God wants to save them. He wants to change them. He wants to transform them. And they are a people that have hurt you very deeply and wounded you very deeply. And my question is, are you ready for their salvation? My question is, if they were to fall before the Lord, humble and broken, and say, God, forgive me of my sins and save me, are you ready for their salvation? Or would they still sense in your heart your bitterness and your coldness? You know, when we hear about people in our family that hurt us getting saved, on the moment, it's easy to put on a smile and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for saving. Oh, my prayers have been answered. But it's only a matter of time before that bitterness comes up again. And that resentment comes up again. If God hasn't really healed our hearts. So my point is simply this. Sometimes the Lord will plant a word in our hearts, but there's still a deep work, a deep healing, a deep deliverance that the Lord needs to do in our hearts. And it's not an overnight work. It takes much time. But the good news is the Lord is faithful to do it. The Lord's faithful to do it. Stand with me.